All right, Happy New Year to you. You know, I started out, I said there about the five staff members and how four of us were asleep, you know, when we rang in the new year. I was curious to know how many of you were asleep. Raise your hand. See, we're all just a bunch of losers here, aren't we? You know, and nobody invited to a party anymore. You know, my daughter did, she texted me about 5 after 12, said, Happy New Year, Dad. And I wrote her back and I said, listen, to me, Happy New Year is what you wish somebody at 8 a.m. on New Year's Day, not at midnight the night before. But we're glad that you're here today on this first day of 2017. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, it seems to me like yesterday we're all worried about the new millennium, you know, the whole Y2K thing. And here we are 17 years later. Wow, we're 16, I guess, isn't it? Anyway, we're in the 17th. We finished 17. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if you heard the story about the friend that was at a New Year's Eve party, and he asked his friend, Pete, asked Ken, his friend, for a cigarette. And Ken responded, I thought that you had made a New Year's resolution to quit smoking. And Pete says, I did. I'm in the process of quitting. And right now I'm in the middle of phase one. And his friend, you know, Ken says, phase one, what's that? And he said, well, I've quit buying. Phase one. Actually, my New Year's resolution is I'm not going to make any New Year's resolutions. So I broke it right away, right? Okay. And anyway, I thought that was kind of cute. Nobody. That's the second service. Nobody's thought that was funny, but that's okay. Let me give you a top 10 list. Okay. I know they do this every year. They always survey a bunch of people and ask them what their New Year's resolutions are about. So I thought you might benefit from hearing this. Here's number 10. Number 10 was, I'm going to get organized. Anybody here? Going to get organized? You know, I'm the kind of guy at our house, you know, people have a toolbox. Arlene always said that I had a tool basement. It's somewhere in the basement. You know, is there anything that, you know, are you have that drawer that you're going to organize? Right? Everybody has that drawer. Anybody got the drawer? I've got the drawer. What's in the drawer? Everything. Anything that you don't want people to see when they come to visit you, you throw in the drawer to get organized. Now, number 9, pretty interesting. I'm going to help others more. You know, that's a good thing to do. You know, think about somebody else instead of just yourself. That's a great resolution to have. Number 8 is... I'm going to learn something new. Now, a lot of people don't do this simply because they've got enough to keep them busy. So why take on something new? But some people, that's their resolution. Number 7, I'm going to get out of debt. Anybody? Yeah, we all want to do that, but we won't do it in a year, and it's going to take some. Say no to some things and yes to some other things. Number 6, I'm going to quit drinking. Maybe not a problem for most of us, but some people certainly have that problem and they want to overcome that, you know, almost more than anything else in life. Number 5, I'm going to enjoy life more. Sounds good, doesn't it? Number 4, quit smoking. Did you know that on average it takes smokers 4 times? Trying 4 times before they finally overcome cigarettes. Number 4, I'm gonna tame the bulge. I read the other day that 80% of Americans are overweight in some degree. Wow, I'm gonna tame the bulge. Or number 2, people say I'm gonna get fit or I'm gonna get healthy. I'm gonna take care of myself. More. I'm going to exercise. You know, my kids got me one of those Fitbits, and I put it on, and at the end of the day, you know, I'd taken 17 steps. Now I was off that day, that's why, you know, but I wouldn't dare put one of those things on. You know, I'd be afraid of what it would tell me. Number one, you know what number one is? It's pretty interesting. It's always number one. I'm going to spend more time with my family. Now, as you read that list, you may pick out some things that you want to be a part of your new year, some things that you want to do differently. But as you read that list, let me ask you, what's the one thing that's missing from all of those resolutions? It's God. And today I want to encourage you to make sure that the Lord is included in all your plans. As you stand here today looking at a new year that's before you, make sure that God is standing by your side. And as you look forward to whatever this new year has for you, make sure that God is a big part of all of that. You know, there's a great passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. You know, sometimes I think as Christians we read the Word incorrectly, or we don't read the Word in such a way that it can benefit us to the best degree that God would want it to. You know, for example, a lot of times people read the 23rd Psalm, and they read the entire 23rd Psalm, and then they think about it. I encourage you this morning to read the Word in phrases or in sentences, and not in just large blocks. It's beneficial to read the Word in large blocks. But for example, if you take the 23rd Psalm and you say and you read, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then to stop, "How's he my shepherd? What is a shepherd? What does a shepherd do for his flock?" And then just think about how God wants to be that to you. "I shall not want. He gives me everything that I need. He's always there for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures." See what I mean? The Word of God can become so much more real and even beneficial if we read it that way. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, I think, is just such a passage. Because I think if there's any passage in the Bible that kind of describes who we are and the times in which we live, describes where we've been and where we're going, it's this one. But it's one of those passages that if you just blow through it, you're going to miss some things that God really wants to stand out to you. So let me share this passage with you in the way that I just described. It says, "Be careful how you live." So be careful how you live. Do we? What does it mean to be careful? What does that look like? What does it mean to a Christian? What's Paul trying to say here? What from his background caused him to use this particular word? And then he says, "Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." What does it mean to be foolish? What does it mean to be wise? Jesus talked about a wise man that built his house on the rock and a foolish man that built his house on the sand. And God, am I living a careful life in such a way that shows that I am wise and not foolish? Then he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. You know, what's he saying? He's telling us that we can overcome evil incrementally by the goodness of God. That if we take every opportunity, or if we make the most of every opportunity, that we can chip away at the evil and the darkness in our life, and we can get to be the kind of people that God desires for us to be. He says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I mean, do I live in such a way that is thoughtless? Am I the captain of my own destiny, or do I let life happen to me? Do I struggle and fight and row against the currents of our culture? Or do I allow it to just take me wherever it wants me to go? Don't live or act thoughtlessly, but every day think about what the Lord wants you to do. And then he tells us something that he doesn't want us to do. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. You know, I wonder if I'm talking to anybody here this morning who indulged to such a point last night that they felt like that they crossed that line. Be careful, especially in a day that embraces alcohol and the consumption of alcohol to such a degree. He says here very, very, very cautiously that it'll ruin your life. I can give you the names of a dozen people right now that are very close to me who would tell you that they ruined their life because they didn't take this particular part of the verse very seriously. But as God always does, he gives us an alternative when he says here that instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you want to be intoxicated with the presence of God and allow your exuberance to come from him. Then he kind of describes what that spirit-filled life looks like when he says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your heart. I mean, do you ever leave worship here at First Church and you've got a song on your mind, on your heart that maybe we sang, and it kind of stays with you throughout the week? And although you have no instruments, you can hear the melody in your mind, in your heart, and you can hear that music kind of replaying. And you sing along. You see, that's the kind of thing that he's talking about here. I don't know if you're like me, and maybe you think I'm a little nutty, but sometimes I make up songs. I make up melodies in my mind or in my heart that I've never heard before. But you just kind of sing about the goodness and greatness of God. You know, you're driving along and you look up at Frankstown Mountain and you just sing, you know what? You know, God, you are able to move mountains. You see, that's the kind of thing that he's describing here for us. And then he finishes up and he says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses start with a description of how God wants to help you live a careful life and ends with it being accomplished in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to make God a part of whatever plans you have in life. Make God a part of them. So some time back, I saw an article, and it was describing how Donny Osmond won Dancing with the Stars. Do you watch this show? Nobody watches this show? I've never seen it. Oh, we got one there. There you go, Janet. I'm going to send your name in and tell them that you should be on Dancing with the Stars. When did Donny Osmond win? I missed it. 4 years ago? I read an article, popped up on my computer. And it said when he won Dancing with the Stars, that he was just so exuberant, and he was hugging everybody there and his family. And then in the interview, he said that this is one of the greatest accomplishments of my life. Really? I thought Donnie had done more than that person. I mean, really? I mean, is that it? Is that as high as it goes? And where are we? And where is God in our plans? Here's what I want to do today. I want to talk to you about how God wants us to be. And from this passage of Scripture, I want to encourage you with several things at how God wants us to live in this coming year. Now, first of all, I think he wants us to be careful. Be careful. Let me ask a personal question here. I want a show of hands. How many of you have ever hurt yourself because you weren't careful? Raise your hand. Oh my gosh. We are a bunch of clumsy people. You know, just this morning when I left my office to come over here, I'm kind of hurrying. I'm hurrying down the driveway there, and I'm glad nobody was here to see me because I hit a little patch of ice, and my feet were going out from under me, and I could have won Dancing with the Stars with my moves to the bottom of the driveway. But then from there over to here, I was watching every step. You know, I think that's finally when you really are old, is when you're really making sure of where you're stepping. And when they offer you a ladder, you say, no, thank you. Right? But hear this passage. God tells us to be careful. To be careful in how we live. To be careful in the way that we live. To be careful, to be wise. To be careful with our time. It's God's time. Don't contribute to evil. Be wise. Seek the Lord. Seek His will in all things. Every day. In every way. I heard a fellow named Steve Rowe. He was describing his catalog of self-induced injuries. He said he'd had a fractured skull, torn rotator cuff, shattered fingers, broken wrist, fractured elbows, torn muscles, sulfuric acid burns, self-stabbings. Really? Self-stabbings, multiple broken noses, and as of last month, he ruptured a tendon in his ankle walking down a flat hallway. Now, hopefully your list isn't quite that long, but we've all hurt ourselves because we were not careful. But in today's culture, in the way that we live today, we have to hurry, we have to worry, we have to multitask, lots of stress. And we do, we hurt ourselves. Some years ago, I was actually cutting a tube of ground beef that was frozen with a butcher knife. I don't recommend this. And it slipped, and I literally chopped the end of my finger off. Chopped it off, and I kind of freaked out, and I covered it with a rag, and my neighbor was going to take me to the hospital because we had a little baby, new baby at home. Arlene put the end of my finger in a sandwich bag and put it in my pocket. I'm in the emergency room. The doctor is cleaning this off, and he's like, "Oh my goodness," he said. "I wish you would have thought to bring that." He said, "I could sew it back on." I said, "Oh, it's in my pocket." Be careful. Be careful. Brothers and sisters, God has told us so many times in life, but it seems that we don't listen. We have a hard time listening. It's so true for so many of us. And instead of telling ourselves, "I told you so," why don't we allow God to encourage us to be careful in how we live? To use our time for Him, to seek the Lord in life, and to serve Him no matter what else we do. And certainly never make a New Year's resolution without Him being part of it. The second one I think that He encourages us here with is to be thoughtful. He says, don't get drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be thoughtful of others. That's always good advice. You know, to allow God's Spirit to live in us in such a way that it causes us to act in thoughtful ways. I mean, so many times we say things without thinking. I think about, I asked you just a moment ago, how many of you had done something without being careful and hurt yourself? Let me ask you another question. How many of you have said something in such a way that you didn't intend to it to, but it hurt someone? See, we all know that being thoughtful would be helpful, but a lot of times we're anything but. At times we're all like that. We like to be appreciated for the good things that we do. I found an article some time back. It was entitled, How to Be Miserable. How to Be Miserable. Let me read it to you. Here's what it says. It says, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forget a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Never forget a service that you've rendered. Shirk from your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. That's the way to be miserable. We can become too self-focused and we can forget about other people. Let me remind you of a few things that the Bible says. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Galatians 5 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Later in that same verse, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Matthew 22, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. These two are the greatest commandments. I mean, isn't Jesus commanding us there to be thoughtful? And then finally, it's to be thankful. To live a life that shows that we are thankful for what God has given to us. In a recent survey, 80% of the people who answered this survey said that people are ruder today than they were 20 or 30 years ago. What that says to me is that even though we make New Year's resolutions, we don't always get better. Because I'm sure that some of us would be in that group this morning. Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise His holy name. You see, folks, God wants us to live that kind of life. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says to watch your life closely. Some months ago, I actually found an article written by Dr. Hal Seed. The article was actually entitled, Examine and Reset for a Better New Year. And I kept this close because I wanted to refer to this for my own reading. And when I spent some time with this article last week, I decided I wanted to share these things with you. There's six of them, and please, I'm not going to comment on them. I'm just going to give them to you. But he gives us the six things that we need to do to examine and reset our life. Here you go. Number one, he says, total your top 10 blessings. Sit down and actually think about the 10 things that you are most thankful for. It's a wonderful exercise. I mean, guys, just to look at your wife and just look her in the eye and say, you know what, honey, you are one of my top blessings in life. I just want you to know that. You know, when our kids were younger, we used to, at Thanksgiving, we would go around the table, and everybody at the table, even people that were visiting with us, we would ask them to list three things they were thankful for. And it was always hard to do. You know, the kids are like, oh, I don't want to do that. And, you know, I'm trying to think of something. And, you know, you get one, and you're trying to think of another one. And, you know, there's always somebody in the group that writes down 10 things and makes everybody else look bad, right? It's a wonderful exercise, though, to just examine your life and not just think about your failures, but to think about how God has blessed you. Number two, he said to record your accomplishments, personal, financial, health and fitness, ministry, professionally, ways that you help others in your marriage, in your family, to just think about things that you have accomplished, things that you have done well. Number three, he says reset your goals. Reset your goals. You know, rethink the numbers. Talk about books that you want to read. Goals that you want to achieve exercising. My wife and I, we were traveling down the road the other day, and she talked about how she really wanted to start exercising more. And she said, John, how about if me and you share a goal in a number of miles that we want to walk? And I said, no, thank you. You know? I mean, let's just think about, you know, things that we want to accomplish. Maybe things that we didn't get accomplished last year, but we're gonna keep them on the list because they're good, they're right, they're noble goals. He says, update your dreams. Update your dreams, your big, audacious things that you want to accomplish in life and in ministry. Number five, he says, seek God for a theme. I love this one. He encouraged you to think about something that you want to be your theme for the whole year. You know, things like, you know what, 2017, upward and onward with Jesus. You know, maybe 2017, accomplishing every goal through the power of Christ. You know, maybe a theme would be, you know, with the Holy Spirit in me, nothing is impossible. And every day you think about that theme. And that theme is going to guide your life and steer you in the way that God wants you to go for the coming year. And then number six, he said to generate lessons that you've learned. I mean, every year, just sitting down and through prayer, through the refreshment of the Spirit of God, and through planning, think about some things that God has taught you. Things through your failures and things through your successes. You know what I think you'll find? I think you'll find that you learn as many positive things through things that you failed at than through things that you were successful in. Just allow God to help you generate, you know, some bullet points of what you've learned this past the year. And then say, God, I invite you to build on what I've learned. Teach me some lessons, even some hard lessons over and over and over again. And I want to make this year a great year in you. So we always come to the time where it's just, now what? Now what? Here we are at the beginning of a brand new year. Now what? Well, 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life closely. And I think if we do that, and if we look back and evaluate, and if we look forward and hope and dream, and then if we plan today through the power and the leading of the Spirit, 2017 can be the best year ever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you, Lord, this moment. We give you our life. We give you our time. We give you our past, our present, and our future. And God, I pray that 2017 can be the best ever because of reevaluating our life and rebooting, Lord, our life and and allowing you, Lord, to not only be a part of where we've been, but where we're going and where we are. So, Lord, may your Spirit guide us as we sing this awesome song of worship. And, Lord, may it encourage us to plan, but not to plan absent your Spirit living in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.